Now, Circus as we know it celebrates an important anniversary this year. So to find out more, I caught up with local circus performer and entrepreneur Emma Wright from Right Side Up Circus.
This is the 250th anniversary of the father of modern circus, Philip Astley, launching his very first show in London.
So you say he's the father of circus. How did he get that name?
So circus has been around for absolute centuries. You know, people were juggling from the very point they realised they could throw and catch things. But the idea of circus being this kind of variety show in a ring that we sort of associate very much with the modern circus came from Astley. And whilst there are lots of things that you can find kind of before him, he's probably the first successful ringmaster, shall we say. So he often gets accredited with being the father of what we know as circus today.
So if we were to go back in time 250 years and stand in one of his big top tents, would it feel like a similar experience from what we know today?
Actually, it feels completely different. For one thing, the idea of the big top and the tent didn't really come around until the 19th century, and that was a very much an American thing. Philip Astley worked in very much kind of wooden structures, and the main thing that you would have found there was horses. So a lot of people don't realise that circus actually started with a lot of equestrian acts, and people were doing very cool tricks on horseback based off the skills that they picked up with cavalry in the various wars that we were kind of fighting at the time. So Astley, when he came back from the war, was trying to make a living and basically was charging people to watch him practice his tricks on horseback. He then pulled in various kind of variety performers in the area and thus became the beginning of modern circus. But there were lots of skills that you would see in Astley's shows that you really wouldn't associate with circus today. For example, shadow puppetry was really popular, which I don't think I've ever seen in a modern circus.
Well, we do love shadow puppets, but you're right, it'd be a funny thing to go and actually pay to watch. Although, having said that, things like Britain's Got Talent, there was a very famous one a couple of years ago, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, the art form is still around, but it really isn't something that you'd associate with the circus name. Battle reenactments on horseback were also a really big deal because it was a way that you could spread the news to kind of the peasant masses. So there'd be like a runner who'd come back and let you know that what was happening in France, and then Astley would choreograph this big battle that they would then do in the ring so that you could kind of get an update, a bit like the 9 o'clock news, but a bit more gruesome in front of you.
So it was almost a storytelling experience as well then?
Yes, yeah, so the idea was, the reason why Astley wanted to do it is because the theatres at the time were very snobby about what they would put on and wouldn't, and there was a lot of shows that weren't deemed highbrow enough to be kind of seen. So Astley and then the other performers and ringmasters who came after him were really a haven for these sort of niche, on the fringes of society things that, you know, people in the common crowd could go and see and join in with.
So it makes something very relatable. And talk us through one or two of the most famous performers, perhaps, who have graced the circus stage over the last 250 years. Are there any big names, like if we think famous actors we might know from the last 100 years or so, are there similarly famous people from the world of circus who everyone in the business knows the names of?
So people didn't really know the name of the performers as much as the kind of family names that you had, and also the ringmasters themselves were really the ones that people knew. So Barnum and Bailey is one of the biggest names in American circus. You had The Greatest Showman, which loosely looked at P.T. Barnum's life. In terms of the actual performers themselves, you had a trapeze artist, Jules Leotard, whose surname you might recognise as being something that is worn now by dancers everywhere. He was the original person who came up with the leotard. He managed to keep it completely pure white, even with all the sawdust everything, every single night. It was very impressive.
That's very impressive, given that I'm sure washing machines weren't quite as advanced then as they are now.
You also had Annie Oakley. She was considered one of the top circus performers. She was the sharpshooter. For those of you who don't know, she was said to be able to shoot the flame off a candle, which is crazy.
Is that true, or is that just one of those stories?
I don't think we'll ever know, but I'm going to believe that it's true because it's much nicer that way.
It'd be nicer to believe, wouldn't it? So the types of act that perhaps circuses used to have, are they still fairly similar, or have some of those faded into obscurity, or new ones been added?
There are always new ones being added, and lots of disciplines that we can kind of see today have come about with modern technologies and things like plastic being invented, which means that we can do a lot more with props. For example, juggling rings are really, really popular as a form of juggling. You'll see them in big tops all the time because they're really visual with the ring shape, but they've only been around really for the past, I wouldn't go any older than about 50 years, and they were invented, again, mainly due to sort of all the plastic that we had coming in.
Now, you mentioned there about the attitudes people have towards circus performers. You know, it wasn't considered good enough to perform in a theatre, so they had to come up with something else. Have you ever come across similar views in the modern era?
I toured with the circus for a while, and we occasionally got some comments, which was interesting. Generally, though, people are quite positive about it. And I think with the recent rise in sort of introductions of circus elements in physical theatre and in more kind of conventional shows, and then you get things like The Greatest Showman, Water for Elephants is another classic movie. You have Pippin, which is the musical, which is based off a circus being on the West End. It's really becoming very, very mainstream, and you no longer get those sort of sideshow elements. It's also just generally cleaned up its act a lot more. Very, very back in the day, you would have had things like your freak shows, which are really just not suitable anymore. We've got far more PC about that kind of thing. A lot of animal cruelty, which again is completely gone. And there was a lot of sort of risque stuff, which we now have the dark corners of the internet for instead.
Yeah, so no more bearded ladies, I guess.
No, that's a shame. I really like the bearded lady as a concept. I always wanted to be a bearded lady, but I don't think I've got the
beard for it.
No.
But you mentioned that you toured with a circus for a while. Has that been a big part of your working life?
So, no, not really, actually. I found touring something that didn't suit my temperament or the lifestyle that I like to lead. But I toured with Zippo's Travelling Circus School, which is called the Academy of Circus Arts, or ACCA for short. And I toured with them on their summer programme in, I want to say, 2014. Or 2013, either one. That was a really, really good experience, a great opportunity to learn lots of new skills and get an insight into the touring lifestyle. But I'm a bit of a homebody, so it didn't really suit me in the long term.
And you're no stranger to Cambridge either, are you?
No, so I came here for university, and that's actually where I picked up all of the circus skills that I have. So I joined a juggling society in my first year, and then pretty much haven't looked back since.
So you came to Cambridge and had the wonderful experience learning about circus at the time, and then decided to make that your way of life, really, after that?
Yeah, kind of. It was sort of a love at first sight moment for me. My degree is in philosophy, which is really not linked to any concrete career plan, so I was a bit at a loss of what I was going to do after university anyway, and I just found that I really enjoyed the learning process, but also mainly the teaching process. I find teaching circus to be so rewarding, far more for me than performing, and it was something that I'd kind of dabbled in a bit volunteer wise through university, and then came to conclusion that's just what I wanted to do.
And I know now that you run your company that does an awful lot of work with children and workshops in schools and things like that to try and promote a lot of the positive, wonderful skills that circus performing can bring.
Yeah, so we run extracurricular circus clubs within schools in the Cambridgeshire area, so mainly lunchtime and after school, and it's just a brilliant sort of environment. Circus is really wonderful for connecting with children who potentially struggle with kind of standard physical activity, your PE syllabus, sport and that kind of thing. It just doesn't resonate with them for whatever reason, so it's a great way of getting them active without it being that kind of competitive sporting element. It's also really brilliant for your mindset and how you kind of approach challenges in life, because there is a very high failure rate in circus, and that often sounds very negative, but failure should be something that we view as a learning experience rather than it being a kind of black mark against your character. So our clubs are really, really keen on emphasizing that it's something that you can learn from and push through, and we actually reward failure because it's brilliant. It's how you learn. You should be counting your drops, not your catches in juggling.
That's a strong message. And tell us about the plans you have this summer to celebrate the 250th anniversary in even more detail.
So we are launching the very first Right Side Up Circus Summer School, which is going to be really, really exciting. So it's a whole week of a whole day of kind of circus, and it's going to be brilliant. We're all going to be doing object manipulation stuff. So that's things like juggling and hula hooping and spinning plates. And we've got a few kind of crafty elements that we're going to work in there. And then a little bit of the history of circus, not too much. I don't want it to be too like school in the summer holidays, but just a little bit in there. And it's the kind of thing that you can come along to for just one day or the whole week. But each day is going to be different, so you will get something completely different out of each day.
So where's this taking place?
So this is taking place at Netherhall Sports College, and it's happening the first full week of August. That's Monday 6th to Friday 10th. And we're offering at 8:30 to 3:30, but parents out there who work long hours, we are doing an optional pickup at 5:30, because I know it can be difficult in the summer to arrange all that kind of thing. So I got your back.
That's nice of you. And if we need more details, where should we go?
So you can go to my website, which is www.rsu-circus.co.uk. It's got all the details on there about the summer camp, and if you are interested in more information about the regular school clubs that we do, there is a bit on there as well.
Emma, thank you very much, and keep circusing.
Always.
That's Emma Wright. Bring the beat in. From Right Side Up Circus, on the story of how she's celebrating the 250th anniversary of modern circus as we know it. My thanks to Emma for that fascinating chat.